Welcome to the House of Pod, a show where we pull back the curtain on the world of medicine, we answer questions about your health, and we interview great guests.
I'm Joe, and I'm not a doctor.
And I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Kaveh.
And we're two gastroenterologists.
What's a gastroenterologist?
You know, the doctors who work with your digestive system.
Say what?
You know, your liver, your pancreas, your intestines.
Where now?
Your butt, Joe. It's your butt.
Oh.
That's my morning zoo guy voice. You like it?
And welcome back to the House of Pod.
Wow, today we got a crazy show.
Right, we need all the... Right,
so loud.
I was going to say, Pete, that's going to break people's ears.
Yeah, well, welcome back to the House of Pod, everyone. Hi, I'm Kaveh.
I'm Lizzie.
Lizzie, how you doing?
So
I mean, really,
good.
really.
You know, I'm rocking the quarantine thing. I'm just like killing it every day, just doing such a good job. I'm the best quarantiner.
Now, that sounds like sarcasm.
Is it? No, I actually am doing okay.
You're better than that, Lizzie.
I'm better. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't lower myself to sarcasm. But for the most part, I think I'm doing okay. You know, getting outside, trying to think of fun, novel ways.
Yeah.
To entertain myself, new food places to order from.
Yeah. So yeah, tell me what you're doing to help. What are you doing to help yourself through this time?
I am definitely trying to exercise probably 4 or 5 days a week and definitely take walks and pick up food, for example, like not just do delivery, like find a local place and go walk and get it. So we can all get some exercise. And I was brainstorming the other day, and you tell me what you think of this idea.
Yes.
We do something like a meal swap or a food swap, and you and I can be the first guinea pigs where we just agree to cook a meal for four, for example, just to include everyone and maybe have leftovers if you're not four people, and just and take food, you know, restrictions into consideration and cook a meal for each other and leave it, you know, and text or call, hey, I'm outside your house. I'll leave the food right here and do that. So we can try that.
I think that's a good idea, because what you're getting at is you may be really tired of your own cooking, but someone else, it's new to someone else.
Right.
So yeah, no, I like that idea.
We all have staples in our house that we can like do really well. And you know, before the quarantine, I think Tyler and I would do it like once a week or twice a month or something. And now it's like every day and I'm just sick of it. Even if it's delicious, I can't handle it anymore.
Because no matter what you do, you have like a signature way of cooking, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you taste it. It's like the Beatles once were like, you know, we're gonna we kind of miss playing those old clubs where people didn't really know us. So we're thinking we're just gonna show up one day at a club in disguise and start playing. And then the reporter was like, well, but then wouldn't people just recognize the sound right away and know it was you? And they're all like, oh yeah, that's right. You know, so it's a little bit of that. You're like tired of your stuff, no matter what
do
differently.
I was thinking that it's just the same dishes that I make or that Tyler makes that I'm kind of bored of. But you're right. It's like everyone kind of seasons the same. And you're right. Things sort of do, I think, maybe end up tasting similar. So let's try this out this week.
Okay. I think that's a great idea. Actually, let me ask you another question. This is in the future, because this is going to take a long time.
Will I put Corona in your food? Because I won't.
Not on purpose.
Okay.
Oh, I am going to reheat whatever you send me, by the way.
Right.
Let me ask you a question, because this is going to take a long time. The coronavirus isn't going away magically anytime soon. We're not going to have a vaccine, I don't think. I think the earliest, if we were like super lucky, would be like November. I mean, that would be like really pretty awesome, but I don't expect that to happen, to be honest. Yeah. And it's something that I think we're going to be dealing with for a while. So let me ask you, do you think in the future we're going to have a different social network? Like, for example, now you hang out with a bunch of people, you hang out with people in different crews and different like walks of your life. Like, you know, you hang out with people like me, for example, but then you have your friends from back in New York and you have like different circles. Do you think what's going to happen is our social circles are going to shrink a little bit? For example, say like you were to be a family of 5 kids and you knew a couple of other families of 5 kids or similar that had similar age ranges, and you just sort of made an agreement like an actual, like you discussed it. We're like, look, let's be in our own little social circle here where it's just us. And we don't, we all agree, like almost like a swingers club where they're like, I'm assuming they like have some limits on what they do. Many polyamorous listeners will probably correct me on this, but like, I'm assuming there's something like that. And we'll be like, there'll be like this groups that you hang out with and you sort of make an agreement to not go outside of those.
Right. To not socially distance from a set group of people. I have to say, I think the people that you've agreed to not socially distance from during this time are the people that you were always closer to. And I do think humans are similar to our gut microbiomes. I think they're like a rubber band. And however much you stretch and pull and change, I do think that they tend to kind of just go back to where they were. I think the people you rely on are always going to be the people you rely on. You know, I don't think it's going to change things that much. I think the biggest change for all of us is that people are going to work from home a lot more. And I think that'll be good, maybe for the environment and for the world. And I think people who are like, no, you're the CEO of the company, you need to show up every day. I think they're learning that actually you don't need to show up every day. You know, and you don't need to get on a plane for that business meeting in London. You can do things really well this way. And I think work life is going to be very different. I think social life right now is chaotic and different, but I think we're going to go back to how we were. The issue is really restaurants and bars and things like that, that we did meet these people out at. I think that to me is the big X factor. How are they going to open? When they're going to open? Yeah. Is it going to be a crowded, bustling place anymore? I don't know. I agree. Not until we have a vaccine. I don't know.
It's very interesting. But anyways, okay. We have a very cool guest coming up, Jake Hanrahan. He is a journalist. He's a documentary filmmaker. He has a new media platform, a newish media platform called The Popular Front. You've probably seen him on Vice or on some HBO show at some point covering some horrible conflict somewhere in the world. He's going to come talk to us about conflict journalism and sort of that lifestyle, the risks of it, and the obvious ones and the not so obvious ones. Things for us to plug here. First, we'll plug the email. So if you guys have any questions, please contact us there, hopquestions@gmail.com. Please follow us at Twitter at The House of Pod. We're also at Instagram at The House of Pod. We're available on Facebook as well. Thank you to Nadim for helping with getting our episodes out there for people to listen to. Anyone else you want to plug or say thank you to, Lizzie?
Thank you, Kaveh, for being in my social network and doing this. We've been ramping up over the Zoom, so it's actually been fun. So
doing these episodes is helping me.
It's totally helping me get through quarantine. It is like our fun hobby/passion, and it's I don't know, it's good.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for everyone following us on Twitter and interacting with us and giving us questions for guests. We love that. Keep doing it, please. You guys rock. Stay tuned for a great interview. On the show today, we have Jake Hanrahan. I like to say your name with a real Persian sort of sound because I assume you're like secretly Persian. Jake Hanrahan. He's a
It's Irish.
I know. I'm just kidding. He's a filmmaker and a journalist, and he focuses on conflict journalism. He's worked extensively for Vice News, Wired, BBC, and now he started his own media platform called The Popular Front. He's covered conflicts from the Ukraine, Syria, Palestine, and Turkey. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show, man. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thanks very much for inviting me, mate.
So, I got to say, there's a couple things that I like about your work. One, I like that you sort of saw conflict journalism and you saw that there was all these really interesting stories to tell, and you knew that they could have been told in a much more interesting, entertaining way, because it's really amazing stories. And that's very similar to like how we looked at the medical show, why we started it. We're like, medicine's so interesting. There's so many interesting topics, but like we weren't hearing any shows that covered them in the way we wanted to hear. So I kind of got that sense from before. Is that something that you like specifically thought of when you started doing conflict journalism?
Yeah. Well, I always found that like, you know, the BBC, for example, do a lot of really, really good work. And they do make a lot of excellent docs out in the conflict zone. But, you know, I started at Vice News when it was good, when it first started. And we would go out there and, you know, we were on the ground doing like very, you know, shoulder to shoulder with the militants or the soldiers or whatever it is. And, you know, at the start, we got a lot of flack for that with Vice News. And they were saying, oh, you're glorifying war and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't that. I very quickly looked at it. I said, it's not actually. It's basically the old guard didn't like the fact that we were making conflict journalism enjoyable to watch for a younger audience. Now, you have to, you know, the younger generation are not just going to stick with what you want them to do. So, you know, you have to make it a little bit new. You have to do something a little bit different. So kind of learned that at Vice News. So then when I started my own platform with Popular Front, I kind of took all of that from Vice News, but then also had my own spin on it. You know, we do a lot of very kind of weird, you know, we're very into like weird aesthetics. Like we used kind of vaporwave, the kind of aesthetics and ideology behind it, because it's, you know, Popular Front is strictly anti-corporate. You know, we don't have, we've been offered some big money from big corporate, you know, businesses, but I refuse, because that's what destroyed Vice News, in my opinion. You know, when they started taking all the money on it, not just Vice News, but loads of media, when they started taking all the money from, you know, corporate venture capital, we've seen a massive, you know, dip, and it's just gone rubbish because they've got an appeal to stock people, all of that money stuff. I don't even know.
So you think it's you think it's been like watered down. So you started So you started Popular Front, which, just tell for people who want to find you, you describe it as a media platform, and you guys do podcasting, documentaries. Yeah. You said you just started a magazine, and you're anti-corporate, and that's kind of the how you pitch it.
That's, yeah, I mean, it started off with the podcast, just the podcast, because that's easy to do, you know, like it's cheap. It didn't really cost me anything much. I bought a mic. But I always had the plan of going back to doing documentaries, how I want to do them, which was how I kind of did them at Vice News. So once, you know, I took a decision, I was like, I'm not having all of this kind of, you know, we kind of do it very irreverently. We kind of do it tongue in cheek. We say like, no frills, no elitism, no corporate bugmen. Do you know what I mean? Because we don't want to be like everyone else. We want to be like, look, we always say this, look, we do serious work, but we don't take ourselves too seriously, because at war, there's a very kind of irreverent nature to it. There's all different aspects of war. And it's quite annoying when like white Westerners turn up and are just like, we're here on the front line. And it's like, I was like, that's so boring. And that's why a lot of young people are not engaging. So I started Popular Front, and then we used all these kind of, I did it how I wanted to do it. And we had a big kind of like F you attitude at the start, which a lot of people didn't like, but actually a lot of did like. That's what kind of brought it on. And I think, you know, I started a podcast, we started making documentaries all independently, and I think people like the kind of, I think Popular Front has integrity. Do you know what I mean? I really do. Like, for example, when Juul, you know, like the Juul pods, they tried to sponsor us, and that's Philip Morris. So I was like, you know, I didn't even reply. I just put the email on Twitter and was like, thank you, Philip Morris.
You know how to, you know the way to my heart.
You gave half the world cancer. Like, no thanks. No, you know what I mean? Like,
no, it's, we've covered that. We've talked about it. We've actually, that's a big deal for us too. I mean, for us, it's, you know, no one's offering us the kind of stuff they'd be offering you, but it's a similar sort of thought. I mean, you know, we feel like if we're involved with anything, even though, say, a product that we really believed in medically, as doctors, it becomes then really strange, you know, for us to then back it, even if it's something we actually like.
Yeah. Like, no, we're definitely we're not going to take money from any vaping companies anytime soon.
Yeah.
But if you're listening, no, I'm just kidding. We try. we definitely would like, I think who sponsors you is such an important part of like your vetting process and like who you are. Like that's a really important thing that you need to look out for. So it's good that you guys are doing that.
We do have sponsors, but it's like independent companies. Do you know what I mean? That's like absolutely strict. So there's a coffee shop in Oregon. It's like this straight edge coffee shop. And I know the guys that run it, you know, they're a bunch of anarchists, very good guys. And they were like, yeah, like sponsor the show. Let's do it. That's fine. There's like a company in America. It's completely independent. They make like self-defense equipment, not knives, but that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I looked at what they were doing. I was like, that's cool. That makes sense to me. They're independent. They're kind, you know, they believe in, you know, self-defense, which I think is important. So there's stuff like that. We'll have like, you know, we've kind of created a network of people that we will associate with, because I want to kind of present this thing of like, there is another way of doing it. We can go around them, you know, mass media. And I'm not one of these like conspiracy theorist nutcases that's like the mainstream media, blah, blah. Like there's a big problems with mainstream media, but there's also like very, very good stuff still being done. But for me, it just didn't fit. And for me, I had to go around it. And, you know, we've gone around it. And, you know, Popular Front has been around three. This is the third year now. And, like, we've got, like, over 1 million unique downloads, which with no advertising or anything, which I think is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's created a new trend almost. You know what I mean? Like, people have started saying, oh, that's like Popular Front. And that's what I wanted. I'm like, yes, that's cool. Because now I feel like we've got something a little bit original. You know, we're not the best. We're not the, we're never the first. We're never going to be the first on any dropping news. But I like to think we do it a little bit differently, which, you know, some people like it.
You know, one thing I notice about what you and Robert Evans are doing, something, yeah, he's been a guest on our show as well, is that it's something that seems sort of unique to the younger crew of journalists, is you're able to use the internet and Twitter to take different angles of things. I respect that you don't always, you know, support the people you interview, and you don't necessarily agree with, I'm assuming, a lot of the people you talk about and you show on your programs. But you're able to use the internet to look at a different slice of life than I think the older journalists are able to. I mean, do you feel that way as well? Do you feel that gives you sort of an edge in that department?
I don't know if it's, I tell you, it is the internet, but it's not exactly the tool of the internet. It's the culture of the internet that I've grown up on. You know, I've been online since I was like 9 years old. You know, I made a flipping Final Fantasy VII fan website when I was like 10, you know, like using HTML. So, you know, like I've always been like a very online guy, and I was interested in all these weird little subcultures online. Even like 4chan, like back in the day when I was about like probably 13, I think I used to go in there, and it wasn't anything like it is now. That's where like Anonymous, you know, those groups came out of. It was kind of fun back then. So all of that, I kind of feel like I understand it a little bit better than maybe an older generation might, which does help. You know what I mean? Certainly with Popular Front, we were very like against this idea of having clicks, you know what I mean? But at the same time, we want to understand the clicks rather than just scream, you know, fascist or lefty or whatever. You know, people are very interested in being shrill and screaming at things, when actually I think when you have grown up in these little weird internet subcultures, you understand a little bit more the nuances, which, you know, Popular Front is very, you know, we do try and focus on the nuances. Like our podcasts are very, very niche and very minute detail on topics. You know, we had an episode about suicide car bombs that ISIS used. And the lad we had on researched it so much to the point where he actually found like the Ford garage that ISIS raided to steal all the cars and like, you know, make the suicide car bombs with. Now, some people might think, well, that's too much detail. You don't really need it. But actually, when you go into the more minute detail, you find out things that you wouldn't have found out. For example, there's probably a guy that lived near that factory. That's why he knew that this, this and this. That's why they could raid it. So whatever. So I think that we're trying to go very, very niche. But by doing that, I actually think it opens it up to everybody, which is sounds kind of backwards, but people are not stupid. Like, I think mainstream news has unfortunately, because they're limited to their time slots, they've somehow, whether they meant to or not, have often kind of taken on this idea that people are stupid and don't want, you know, news properly. And actually people do want that. You know, I've been in so many commissioner meetings, like at the BBC and Sky and all these places where they're like, nobody wants that. And I'm like, how do you know? You have no idea. You know, you earn 100 grand a year and you sit in an office all day. You don't know what people
want. Right. So you, yeah, I mean, you have to kind of go out there, and that's what you do. Obviously it sounds like behind the scenes and also in your journalism. And if you're investigating things like ISIS car bombs and, you know, war torn countries and all this, you know, you see terrible things, right? We did talk to, like Kaveh said, Robert Evans from Behind the Bastards, and he's also been a journalist in all these war-torn areas. And, you know, how do you not, you know, how do you continue doing the journalism? How do you not have PTSD? How do you, I mean, you were in a Turkish prison for 2 weeks, you know, if you Google Jake Hanrahan, that's like the first thing you'll see. Like, how do you recover from this stuff and then keep going?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm glad like you've asked it because you're like medical professionals. Like I've done a little bit of counseling and that, but I don't really like it. It doesn't really work with me. Like, you know what I mean? Like I started a new one just before all of this stuff happened, and it was much better. You know what I mean? But obviously now it's kind of, you have to do it on Skype, which just feels weird.
You mean like we would call it therapy?
Therapy, you said counseling? Yeah. I meant therapy, sorry.
I just think it's just colloquial. Like.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But I really disliked, I mean, I think for a lot, I kind of came up around a lot of other war reporters at Vice and other places. Actually, no one at Vice was like this, but they put it this way, there's some reporters that I almost feel like they want PTSD in a weird way. It's almost like they want to be able to say at the bar, oh, I've got PTSD. And I don't really like the idea of sharing that. Oh, I'm so bad. Yeah. So now, trust me, like I get very depressed, you know, and I struggle with that stuff. Definitely. But I don't know. I don't know if it's the way I've been raised, but there's certainly a part of me that always manages to just pull out of it. You know what I mean? Like just think, right, it's gone. It's going bad. And then I hit the bottom and it's like, we absolutely must get out of this pit. You know what I mean? So that has always been more helpful to me. It's like, I'm depressed. What about this guy that was actually in the war zone? He's like, he's dead or he's this or his house is blown up. So that almost makes you think like, right, stop worrying about yourself. Stop being moping and just get out of it, which it's probably not that healthy, but it does help.
You're probably grew up in a place where you're not really encouraged to talk about your feelings. You're probably growing up in a place, or you're from a place where that's not something people do necessarily, even though it might be really important. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the Midlands, I don't think there's exactly a comparison you could come up with, but it's in terms of America, but you're kind of right. It's like, it's urban. I tell you what it is, the Midlands, especially the East Midlands where I'm from, is like the perfect mix of the north of England and the south. So it's kind of urban, kind of gritty, but also kind of country in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's hard to explain, man, but it's a very dreary area. Like there's just nothing going on. I always say this, if you're poor in London growing up, you can go and at least look at something cool. You can go around, you can walk to a nice park.
Just the name Midlands, it's like Central Valley, California. It's like kind of this, you know, the flyover states. We have all these kind of names to dismiss places, which maybe isn't accurate. But, you know, you also talk about, you know, how to cope is really kind of what we're talking about, and how if you feel really low, I mean, do you turn to things like drugs and alcohol? Is that like a good I mean, it's not a good coping mechanism, because you talk about how people at bars are like, yeah, I want PTSD. And, you know, as doctors, we also brag about that stuff. We're like, yeah, I didn't sleep at all last night. You know, two patients died on me, or they coded or something. And there is this kind of thing that you want to share with people, and a bit of a bravado, I think. So,
yeah, I think it's really good to share it. But I personally, I just think, you know, share it with people you trust. And I'm really conscious of, I don't want to burden anyone. You know what I mean? There's a time and a place. Don't just put on them. Because I've had it happen to me and I'm like, mate, I can't deal with this. I'm doing this and this. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, obviously, if it's very serious and they're like, I need to talk, you stop everything. But you know when people are just kind of moaning because they can't be bothered to figure it out.
Well, particularly now where people feel so disconnected, you know, it's hard. And listen, we won't go into like a psychotherapy session. That's way out of our wheelhouse. You know what I mean? But I would give a plug here to make sure that you, if you need it, get help. Because you've been through some crazy shit. Like, you're a little too young to remember this, but like in the 80s, it was like after this movie Midnight Express and movies like Airplane, they'd have jokes about Turkish prisons, like being the worst place on earth. Tommy, you ever been to a Turkish prison? It was like known at the time to be an awful, awful place. So you've been through some serious stuff. You've seen some really bad things, right? But let me ask you a sort of a different question about journalists. Do you feel like conflict journalists at some point become sort of adrenaline junkies? Is that part of it?
Yeah. Anyone that covers conflict and tells you like, you know, I've met reporters like, oh, I don't care about, I don't get any adrenaline from blah, blah. It's like, don't lie. Why are you lying? You know, I don't think there's any shame in, again, this is why I think people like Popular Front, because I always try and encourage everyone to be as honest as possible, even if it might embarrass you, even if it might whatever, because people will trust you. You should say, yeah. Like, certainly me, like, there's part of me that always wants to go back to war. Always, you know, and I'm trying to, there's part of me that's like, no, never again. And it's, you know, it's a cliche war reporter thing, but it's real, you know, and it's there. And you feel, for me, it is the adrenaline, sure, like getting shot out or whatever. There's a part of it, it's adrenaline in you. But for me, it's like, I feel like sometimes in conflict, it's almost like if they're living real life. Do you know what I mean? Like they're not in a bubble of, it's like they're out the bubble. It's like when, how do I say this? When I think when like your life is at risk, people are a lot more honest and they care about things that are more important. That's why, like, I always say I love the humor in the Middle East so much. You know, you're not going to get canceled in the Middle East. You know what I mean? And I've got a very sick, dark sense of humor. And when I'm in the Middle East, you know that you can joke with people and have like these dark jokes and you get by through the hell with the humor. You know, I love that part of it. Yeah. I love the kind of ceremony of just living out there day by day. Like, there is part of that I really enjoy. And I feel like there's some connections I've made in conflict places where it's just amazing. Like the connections you make like that is just, you know, like my best friend Phil, I was in prison with him. And our friend Rasul as well, like two of my closest friends. And it's like to go through that all with each other is just something that you can't explain. And it just feel, I love that I have that connection. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, them human connections are so important. And I've just felt them very strongly in the war zone, unfortunately. Yeah. I felt a few, you know, in normal life here, you know, safe life in Europe. But you kind of know that you can always find it again in the war. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think there's some movies that do sounds that selfish, really well. But no, it's like Hurt Locker and American Sniper. It's like wartime is real and home is like this version of denial. And and if you are an adrenaline junkie, like even if you know the PTSD should keep you home, the adrenaline brings you back. You know, it's like a really twisted, difficult, probably emotionally wrought like kind of situation, you know? So that's going to be, I guess, the past and the future for all like adrenaline, you know, for journalists like you, for, you know, people who are going into war-torn countries. But something very topical that we want to ask you about today is the coronavirus. I mean, you can't really avoid it in this, in May 2020. You have to talk about it, right? So for you, how do you see coronavirus and the pandemic that's going on right now? How has that changed your job and your life right now? And how do you see it changing journalism for the future?
That's a good question. To be honest, the main issue for me has been with Popular Front, we had all of these things planned, right? So things were starting to really open up. Yeah. Like mainstream were kind of going, okay, we get what you're doing. We like it. And I'm saying, no, no, no. And then it's getting to a point where now it's grown to the extent where I've said, okay, if you want to work with us, it's got to be on my terms like this, because, you know, Popular Front is like 90% of it. It's just me and I formed it. And it's like, I want it to be like this. Otherwise, what's the point? We had two big things that were coming up. You know, it's looking like we might get a little Popular Front TV series, you know, on a big channel and having it how I want it to be, with still using the kind of, you know, the ethics that Popular Front has. So that was all very exciting, and now it's all on ice. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's probably not going to come back, man, because everyone's saying, oh, it'll start again. It's not, man. The economy is destroyed, and conflict journalism especially was really always fragile anyway, and it was less and less. We were seeing so little funding for this stuff, you know, like it just kept happening, and really good reporters getting dropped from all sorts of places. So now I think it's inevitable. I've been reading up about it. I think there's a recession coming again. I think it's probably started. And I think it's just going to go a lot worse, actually. You know, I really do. There's one positive is that, like, independent media people are riding this wave, from what I see, quite well. Now, we're mostly funded via our Patreon. We do, like, bonus episodes. So it's kind of like a subscription service, you know. But we hemorrhaged like subscribers at the start because people were like, Jake, I can't afford it. I was like, yeah, of course, of course. But then it kind of went back up again, and it, you know, it's doing this. So it's like, I think a lot of independent people are going to be okay because their overheads are so little. In terms of war, I tell you what, though, I think there's going to be some serious issues with, like we're already seeing in the US. I know it's small, but it's gathering momentum with these people that I think there's some kind of people are being opportunists. They're using the lockdown as almost a means to, they want to kickstart a war almost, you know what I mean? Like these boogaloo types. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have much of an opinion on them either way, but I do think that they're using this opportunity to be like, this is tyranny. It's like, it's not tyranny, mate. You're basically staying indoors so that people most vulnerable don't get the virus. Like, right. I can't think of anything that's like tyranny. You know what I mean?
No, it's so funny in the day and age where we have access to so much online that people are complaining about those things. Now, the economy is hurting. There's an argument to be made there. And we actually just did an episode about how to help small businesses. But it is amazing that this has become a political issue to us. Like Lizzie and I, we're not inherently political like people. We're relatively apolitical. We haven't really cared that much. And we get a little criticism here and there for being sort of political in the medical world, but it's almost impossible these days to separate them. And right now, the fact that this has become a political issue in the United States is mind-boggling to me. It should only be an issue about talking about the economy and health in first. And that is that shouldn't become split down party lines. And it's crazy to me that it has.
Every facet, right? Like the swabs and the testing and the military deployment and healthcare and test, like it's all, how could you not, you know?
But I'm glad. It sounds like you're saying we're not going to lose some of those independent voices. And that is actually good to hear. That was my fear, is that we might. And the only things that would survive in this, in the news world, would be the same ones. And there's nothing wrong. Like you said before, I'm not like anti-media in any way. But it's nice to have these other options. I think that is good.
Independent media is going through, or well, independent media was going through a kind of resurgence, in my opinion, just before Corona. You know, for a while, independent media became this weird kind of toxic conspiracy theory type nonsense. Yeah. But actually, I've seen it going back to how it first was. Like when the internet first got big, independent media was amazing, like blogs and bloggers and that. Now I feel like it's coming back to that, like real good people that learn in the mainstream, got disenfranchised with it and were like, right, do our own thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, like I said, it's all on ice right now. We're not sure. Everyone's a bit unsure, you know. It's quite worrying.
Well, you know, I think you brought up a lot of interesting points. And, you know, you mentioned dark humor as sort of like a coping mechanism. And that's something, you know, in medicine, we see a lot of bad stuff. And you learn pretty early on to have a good sense of humor about it, if you're doing it right, in my opinion.
My sister, she is a paramedic, like really one of my sisters, really proud of her. And yeah, she works like 8 hours a week, something crazy, you know, like barely sleeps. And like, she's so funny, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a good sense of humor on it.
Right. It's our favorite coping mechanism here. All right, man. So tell us where people can find you. Give us all the things that you could plug. Let's plug them.
Let's plug. Here. So me, like, if you want to look at my previous work, it's jakehanrahan.com, HANRAHAN. And then Popular Front, the website is popularfront.co. You can find the podcast, all of our documentaries. You'll find it all there. Or just search Popular Front in any app, wherever you listen to podcasts on. And then if you like it and you think, yeah, we want to support these lads, you can go to patreon.com/popularfront, and there's all sorts of stuff. You know, we do bonus episodes, minimum of 2 a month. So, you know, it's better than Netflix, I say. You know what I mean? You might as well. So yeah, that's everything, I think, man.
All right. That's excellent, man. Well, I'll say, please be safe. Although I think you're probably safer now, quarantined at home, than you normally are.
Well, I'm with myself, so I don't know about that.
Than ever.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, man, you've been through a lot, so you know, never hesitate to reach out. Okay, Jake Hanrahan.
Yes.
Jake Hanrahan, good Persian lad.
Stop doing that.
I'm never gonna.
Start telling people that. Like, yeah, no, I'm a ring.
Yeah, we're gonna throw people. All right, man. Hey, thank you so much. It's really nice to have you on. And seriously though, be safe. Now and when you get back to work, we'll be following along.
Thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good day, you two. Bye-bye.
I like that we're good friends.
Yeah. I may go with one of my best friends.
Whoa. Are we BFF?
No, we're not.
Can we get bracelets?
I was thinking maybe we could get like a locking heart there.
Can we get tattooed?
The opinions on this podcast are broadcasted for educational and informational purposes only and do not represent the opinions of our employers. These opinions are not intended as a diagnosis, treatment, or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a local physician or other healthcare professional for your specific healthcare and/or medical needs or concerns.